For a holy war of prayer and preaching of the cross to pull down the strongholds of Satan. For Jesus our Lord and Savior is about to come back for his bride, whom he has washed and cleansed and made holy, without spot or wrinkle, by his blood which he shed on the cross for us. You ambassadors of Christ, you soldiers of the cross, you precious diamonds, stand up tall and straight, be counted, be recognized, be identified, and rejoice in the soon coming back of the Lord our God.
Kommt, sehet die Krippe, sein Kreuz und sein Grab, bringet fröhlich diese Kunde, uns erlöset der Herr, singet fröhlich, Jesus lebet, erstanden ist er. Frohlocket und sing, denn der Herr durch sein Blut vollbracht hat die Sinnung und Sünden zu gut. Bringe fröhlich diese Kunde, uns erlöset der Herr, singe fröhlich, Jesus lebt, erstanden ist er. Frohlocket und sing, denn die Gnade ist frei, der Herr bracht die Ketten der Sünde entzwei. Bringe fröhlich diese Kunde, uns erlöset der Herr, Jesus lebt, erstanden ist er. Frohlocket und sing, das erwürgte Lamm, als Held ist erstanden, vom Grabe er kam. Bringet fröhlich diese Kunde, uns erlöset der Herr, singet fröhlich, Jesus lebt, erstanden. Unser Herr ist der Herr, als Mittler beim Vater am Throne er steht. Bringet fröhlich diese Kunde, uns erlöset der Herr, singet fröhlich, Jesus lebt, erstanden ist er. Frohlocket und sing, eins erscheinet der Herr, von Himmel und sammelt der Gläubigen. Fröhlich diese Kunde, eins erscheinet der Herr, er ist König, Halleluja, bringt Preis im Wunder. Bringe fröhlich diese Kunde, eins erscheinet der Herr, er ist König, Halleluja, bringt Preis im Wunder.
Over the last few weeks, I've been teaching on the incredible things that are happening all over the world. The lockdowns, all the laws and rules and regulations that the governments are forcing on the people because of coronavirus, it seems it doesn't want to come to an end. Well, we need to understand that the Lord Jesus Christ has a way of waking his people up from sleep. When you look at what has happened before the pandemic that was brought on by China, we can clearly see that the world and the people of God were not very worried about what was going on.
The idolatry was all around us. The sports figures, the amount of money those people make, you can clearly see that many, many people are basically idolizing them. So God has brought a stop to all of that stuff. We can see hockey being played without any fans, without any people watching. I don't know what sense that makes, but I'm questioning it. How long can they sustain that without anybody paying to see them play? So we see a lot of stuff being brought to the front that was idolized. Now all of a sudden it comes to a stop. And we need to understand that God is doing this to get our attention because he has a plan for this world. There is not much time left. And he wants to pour out the Spirit on all flesh. But first he's going to root out most of the idols that are all around us. And then his Spirit will be able to penetrate the hearts and minds of those who call themselves Christians. And not only those who call themselves Christians, but also those who do not know him. God is willing that none perish. And he's going to pour out his Spirit upon all flesh. We are going to see that before the Lord comes to take his bride unto himself. And this is why I'm confident that what we're seeing today is a push from the enemy to bring people into subjection, to try to bring confusion. But that one world government, the Mr. 66, will not come until the one holding him back will be taken out of the way. So the question is, how should the child of God react to all of this? My personal opinion is this. Make sure that you know that you know that you belong to God. You are God's elect, and you need to be assured of that, that no harm will come near your door. Yes, you may face sickness, disease, and all the problems of this world, but as far as your soul is concerned, you are being kept by God himself. And no one can touch you. So today I will teach on an interesting message called the Elect of God. But before I get into this message, I will ask the Lord to bless us. Heavenly Father, I come before you in Jesus' name. And I pray, Lord, that you will anoint this message. You will open people's hearts to the signs of the times. I thank you for your grace, and I ask you to anoint this message and bless the listener in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the most important things for a Christian to do after he has accepted Jesus as his Savior is to make sure that he knows that he belongs to God. There are many who walk about not sure of themselves, and that brings confusion, and that can bring a lot of heartache. I know people like that. They don't know where they stand. They're forever trying to improve on themselves, which is nothing wrong with that. But if that's how you think you're going to be more pleasing to God as far as your salvation is concerned, you have a problem. It's not going to work. You will never get more holy than you are after the blood of Jesus has cleansed you. When you get into heaven, it'll still be the blood of Jesus that covered you here on earth. That's going to be your passport, and that's going to be your holiness. The Bible teaches us in Romans chapter 8 in verse 33, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? We need to understand we are God's elect. And the question is asked here, who is going to charge? Who is going to bring an accusation against God's elect? It is God that justifies. Who is he that condemns? It is Christ that died. ye rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Now that is a nice way of putting it. We have to understand God is at the, Jesus is at the right hand, making intercessions for us. And he will stay there all the way to the end, until we're in the portals of glory, making intercession for us. He is the one that tolls us. He is the one that keeps us. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 4, it tells us, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. You should know your election of God. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were amongst you for your sake. So he's telling us we didn't come only with words. We came with a gospel that had power from the Holy Ghost, and we were very sure of ourselves. That is very, very interesting. Many, many people today are not assured of their election. They don't quite trust the word of God. But the Apostle Paul teaches us here that the gospel brings power, and then it brings us assurance through the Holy Spirit. The question I have for those of you who are listening, are you assured in your heart that you belong to God? Is the power of God invested in you? If you don't know that, then you have a problem, because you are never going to be sure of yourself until you know that you know that you belong to God. And that is brought on through the power of the Holy Ghost in you. So I would question myself. If I wouldn't know I was going to heaven, it would be like any other religion. You ask most religious people, are you sure you're going to heaven? And they all have the same answer. If I keep on doing right, if I keep on my course, then yes, then only then will I go. But when you're a Christian, you know you're bought by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You clearly say, as long as the blood has power, I'm sure of myself. And how long will the blood have power? It'll be for the rest of eternity. I want to bring you a very good story out of Luke chapter 22. When the Lord Jesus Christ was having the last communion, the last supper with his disciples, he was talking about his death. And Simon Peter said to him, if I have to die, I will never leave you. But then Jesus made an astonishing statement found in Luke chapter 22 in verse 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen the brethren. I want you to pay close attention to what this scripture says. Simon, I have prayed for you, God interceding for Simon Peter, that his faith fail not. And when you are converted, strengthen the brethren. We all know the story. Simon Peter lied that he knew Jesus. He betrayed Jesus 3 times. And we also know that Judas Iscariot went and sold Jesus out for 30 pieces of silver. So the question I have, why did Judas go hang himself? And why did Simon Peter survive? Because when you read the story, they both basically did the same thing. But Simon Peter had one thing going for him, and that was the Lord Jesus Christ making intercessions for him. He says, Simon, I have prayed for you that thy faith fail not. And that's what Jesus Christ is doing for the elect now at the right hand of God. We clearly know how the story ends. Simon Peter came back into fellowship with Jesus, but Judas Iscariot went and hung himself. That's the difference between a believer and an unbeliever. For the believer, God is interceding for him. For the unbeliever, there is no intercession because he doesn't belong to God. So we need to take this serious. Once we accept Jesus, we don't have to watch our back. Jesus intercedes for us and is always praying and always making sure that we are being kept by the power of God. Now listen to what 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says in verse 17. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. How incredibly beautiful. Once you accept Jesus, he forgets your past. They're all gone with the wind. He has thrown them into the deepest sea. Your sins don't exist anymore. You then become a new creation in Christ. You are then sealed unto the day of redemption. You are then seated in heavenly places. Jesus, our Savior, is making intercessions for us. So we are being kept till we're going to be with him in glory. In 1 John chapter 5 in verse 10, listen to this one. He that believes on the Son of God has the witness in himself. He that believes not God has made him a liar. So if a person doesn't believe, it's basically a lie to him that Jesus saves. The Bible teaches us that the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but to us that are saved, it is the power of God. So here it tells us a person who doesn't believe in salvation has made God a liar because he believes not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God has given to us, eternal life, and this life is in his Son. So for those of you who don't quite believe that you're born again, those of you who are wondering maybe if or but, make sure you don't fall into the category where you say God is a liar because you don't believe the record that God gave of his Son. What is the record? That God has given to us eternal life, and that life is in his Son. And then it goes on to tell us, he that has the Son has life. He that has not the Son of God has not life. It's as simple as that. These things have I written unto you, that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know, not maybe, if, or but, not hope, not any of those words. It says that you may know that you have eternal life and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. This is God speaking to us from his word. We should not doubt the word of God. Let's take it to heart and let's feed on what God has shown us. For those of you who have come to Christ, those of you who know Jesus, feed on these scriptures. Establish it in your heart that you may know that you have eternal life. So let the Lord open your heart to these incredible truths and make you a blessing. Amen.
Die Fenster des Himmels stehen offen, der Segen fließt mächtig herein. Ist Freud, Freud, Freud in mein Herz, seitdem ich mein Leben im Geist.
Fenster des Himmels stehen offen, der Segen fließt mächtig heran. Ist frei, frei, frei in mein Herz, seitdem ich mein Leben im Gab. Er nahm mir die Lumpen der Sinne und gab mir ein schneeweißes Kleid. Er speist uns von himmlischen Manna. Ich freu mich in ihm all die Zeit.
The windows of heaven are open. The blessings are falling tonight. There's joy, joy.
For those of us who have been keeping our eyes on the election in the States, it has gone from topsy-turvy to topsy-turvy, and we do not know how things are going to turn out. It seems like the devil has a heyday with those people, but it's not only the people of America, but it's going to affect the people from all over the world. The way this election will turn out, only God has in his hands, because every avenue that is legal has been tried by the president to expose the fraud, and he's been turned down everywhere. And I have heard from a very interesting man of God, Pat Robinson from the 700 Club. A few weeks ago, he advised Trump to just concede and move on and let somebody else take over for now that all the voting has been done. But a couple of days ago, he said God showed him that he will turn this thing around in a very dramatic way. So we'll see if that prophecy will come true, because I know for a fact Mr. Robertson wanted Trump to concede, and now all of a sudden the Lord speaks to him, he says, and now he has a different story. So that is going to be very interesting to watch how it's going to play out. And we need to understand what this election is about, is it's about abortion. The awful abortion that's taking place all over the world. Many preachers of God have spoken that if the abortion doesn't stop, then God will have to bring a curse upon this land. I heard from a reliable source a couple of days ago that 42.6 million babies were killed in the womb across the world. That's throughout the world. I do not know the percentage of Canada and the States, but 42.6 million babies are a lot of babies, and their blood is crying out to God. And if the peoples of this world will not turn around, then something drastic is going to happen. And I believe in my spirit that it is the politicians of the world who are pushing all of this, this pedophilia, this abortion. So God is going to judge them. That is a firm belief of mine. When I studied the Old Testament, God speaks to the children of Israel about sacrificing their children. He said, the Lord says to them, it has never even entered my mind to tell you to do that. And here you are, sacrificing your children to Baal, which is another name for Satan or some demonic being. And we've seen this stuff going on for the last 100 years or the last 70 years. The non-stoppable slaughter of babies that are so innocent, and the churches simply are silent about it. The Christians don't seem to be riled up. Yes, of course, in the States, and maybe even here in Canada, we see them marching and protesting at abortion clinics. But all in all, the churches don't hardly do anything about it. They don't raise their voices. They don't say nothing. And I believe this is the biggest curse that has ever hit this planet. And if something is not done about it, then God will surely bring the hammer down. This is what I believe God is showing us. And for those of you who don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, the terrible chaos we're in right now should open your heart that these things were prophesied, that we are in the last days. I do not believe that we're in the tribulation, because I am totally convinced the church of God will be removed before that happens. But the dark days that are upon us, people need to turn to Christ before they're swallowed up in this unbelievable chaos and total sin that has enveloped the world. So we need to open our hearts. And how does one come to Christ? Simply by turning to Jesus for salvation. For the Lord is willing that none perish. And those who come to him by faith, they will for sure see the grace of God. The Bible teaches us, if you call upon the name of the Lord, you shall be saved. So if you call upon him with your heart, knowing, meaning it from the bottom of your heart, the Lord will reach down and touch you. So I'm asking you to turn to him today. Give him your life and heart, and let the Lord open your life to a whole new beginning. Amen.
Here at Reaching Out Ministries, we would like to thank you for your generous support. Please continue to pray for us as we press on in the call that God has placed before us. We would love to hear from you. Please write to us at Box 278, Steinbeck, Manitoba, R5G1M2. Again, that's Reaching Out Ministries, Box 278, Steinbeck, Manitoba, R5G1M2. Again, that's Reaching Out Ministries, Box 278, Steinbeck, Manitoba, R5G1M2. You can also reach us on the web at You can also reach us online at reachingoutministries.com. That's reachingoutministries.com.